You're listening to Zoomer, Crooners, and Songbirds, hosted by Canada's own prolific singer-songwriter, Lily Frost. Lily explores music, themes, artists, and sometimes special guests which cross musical genres and eras, and introduces you to unmined gems that might not have made it onto your playlists.
Opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect those of the host or of Zoomer Radio.
Welcome to Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds. I'm Lily Frost. Halloween is just 2 nights away, and one of the most popular costumes has always been the witch. The stereotype is the old woman in a pointy hat, riding on a broom, black clothes, and a big warty nose, stirring a cauldron full of toads and casting evil spells to harm people. These are the impressions of the bad witch that we see in movies and fairy tales like The Wizard of Oz, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Lilith, the red-headed witch. The good witch isn't as dramatic or famous. The Glindas, the Joan of Arcs, or Hermione Grangers. Did you know that there are real live witches walking amongst us today? There's actually a school for witches called Witch School of Canada in Ottawa. And I have the founder of this witch school, Kiki Keskinen, and one of their teachers, Shoshana Sperling, on my show today. From the witches' mouths, we will hear what a witch really is, what they do, how they do it, what they believe in, and where some of the stereotypes originate.
Those fingers in my hair.
Witchcraft by Ella Fitzgerald on Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds, and now another crooner classic, I Put a Spell on You by Nina Simone.
I put a spell on you.
I Put a Spell on You by Nina Simone on Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds. After this short break, I'm joined in studio by a real live witch, Shoshana Sperling. After this.
You're listening to Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds. Opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect those of the host or of Zoomer Radio.
You just heard The Monkey Bunch, a children's group led by Shoshana Sperling, doing The Ghost of Tom for Halloween. She also formed CommunityOutWitch.com and teaches shape-shifting at Witch School Canada. I want to welcome Shoshana Sperling to the studio here at Zoomer for the Halloween special. Shoshana is a real practicing witch.
Sure thing.
You're now a teacher and you teach shape-shifting. Can you explain what that is?
Shapeshifting is this really fun thing that I didn't know it was called shapeshifting. I have been doing it for years, and I think probably a lot of people are good at shapeshifting. We go into different parts of our lives as somebody else in order to be in that position. Actors do it all the time. Meryl Streep is a fantastic shapeshifter. I think when I see people doing drag, that's shapeshifting. It's very playful, and when it's done a certain way and in another way, it's a survival technique. And I think a lot of the time we use it to survive. It's different than putting on a glamour, say. So in witchcraft, we talk about a glamour. A glamour is like makeup, a pretty dress. So I'm the same, but I'm just changing the way you see me. Shapeshifting is like an embodiment of something else or someone else. So I'm going to a family dinner. And I know that there's going to be some political discussion at that dinner. So I don't want to get into it. I'm going to shapeshift. I'm going to stand in front of the mirror and I'm going to take on, say, in my case, maybe I would take on Athena. She's the goddess of wisdom and strategy. And she understands how to go to war without getting her dress dirty. So I'm going to stand in front of the mirror and I'm going to drop in the characteristics of Athena and how she works and what she represents and what she did. I might take a deep dive on the internet. I might read some books. And then I take a deep breath and I drop her in. I can drop her into my hands, into my feet. This is sort of like an acting technique, but it's also a life technique. It's how I think women have existed for a long time in marriages that didn't work.
Right.
And in a long time around in a business situation where they've walked out of their home breastfeeding their kid and into a room full of men in suits. We have to shapeshift in order to do that. That's not just putting on a suit. That's a whole different thing. And I think that we do it naturally to survive. And I'm suggesting that when I teach it, I'm using it as a tool for mm-hmm. us to embody something that exists already inside us, but to really enjoy her. It's a radical acceptance of the world that we live in. Here we are living within the patriarchy, and sometimes I'm willing and sometimes I'm not. I try to be conscious of it. Mm-hmm. But the acceptance that we have to exist in certain situations, mm-hmm. and so I can drop in something that already exists within me. In Jungian psychology, they talk a lot about archetypes. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is making these archetypes that we accept as part of ourselves, mm-hmm. the feminist ones.
I guess I see older women mm-hmm. in roles that they have played for so many years yes. and have lost themselves in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is it's a choice.
You're touching on the basis, for me, mm-hmm. of witchcraft, and that's intention.
I'm a woman.
You just heard Christina Hutt and her song Wild Women. And Christina is a graduate of Witch School Canada.
If I'm a woman and I am pretending because I can't face the fact that my marriage is over or that my job sucks or that I don't want to be where I am, and so I'm pretending, that's a very different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretending to yourself is very different than pretending to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm in this situation and I'm lying to myself for 28 years, that's different.
Yeah.
But if I am saying I have to get through this mm-hmm. so that I can survive, I mean, this is part of our lineage. My mom did it. Her mom did it. Her mom did it. And now here we are in 2023. We don't have to pretend anymore. We are safe, but our bodies don't really know it.
Mm-hmm. And not to judge women who have had to do that, because it is
what
they've needed to do for
I'm one of them.
For the safety, yeah,
yeah,
more survival.
Grandmother, grandmother, I hear you.
That was Grandmother by Spiral Rhythm. Next up, joining us by phone is Kiki Keshkinen. She's the founder of Witch School Canada, professor at Columbia, Carleton, Ottawa, and Algonquin Universities. Witch school classes include an intensive connection to the herstory and these ancient traditions, practical theories of cleansing, healing, casting circles, and studying the elements, along with deep intuitive building trances for attunement. Welcome to the show, Kiki Keshkinen.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Zoomer Radio.
It's a pleasure.
What does Halloween mean to you as a witch?
Yeah, All Hallows Eve, right? Mm-hmm. It's an invented celebration and borrowed from the pagan tradition and the indigenous traditions from around the world of acknowledging that what's happening in the Northwestern Hemisphere right now is that plant life, earth life, is about to go to sleep. And sometimes the sleep being in the dark suggests that it's dying off. And so we apply that same feeling of things dying away, dying off. The farms are being reaped right now. And we understand that this is also a time where we may very well feel the presence or the memory bank of those that have passed away. I acknowledge that this is a time where those that have passed before me deserve to be honored.
I would really love it if you could bring to light your perspective as a witch, how you would define witchcraft and what you do.
You know, I'm delighted to kind of debunk the myth of what is a witch, because as an activist, as a healer, as a 55-year-old woman who lives a very nice life, I declare I'm a witch. And I think more of us are witches than we know. In fact, if I was born just 400 years ago, I likely would not survive the mob.
Mm-hmm.
See, I define witch as to bend, to shape, and to spark. Witch being the word that comes from the wick of the candle. And so when you're staring into the wick of a candle, which we do in witch school as a form of meditation and trance, and I encourage all your listeners to do it. It can be incredibly relaxing. When you stare at the wick of a candle, you can see how the spark of imagination, of love, of passion, of anger comes through. Mm-hmm. And you know that that wick and that flame, it bends. and it shapes, you know, and so it bends because we have to adjust to modern society. We are involved in society. We're only looking out for the weaker ones.
How long did you study for to become a witch?
In terms of actually putting the study behind it, Witch School of Canada, it's a year and a half. It was all the things that I sort of knew. I didn't have the actual reading behind it. So all my study of fairy tales and mythology and anthropology, there is not a wrong way to be spiritual in my mind. You want to touch self and you want to get to know who you are and you want to get to know where you live and the people around you. Mm-hmm. That is a religion in itself. I am a reclaiming witch.
Okay.
So it's about taking back the old paganism, the old belief in the goddess.
Is the goddess Mother Earth or is goddess separate from Mother Earth?
I mean, to me, the goddess is all of it. Mm-hmm. Like it's everything. It's everywhere. It's source. And in Wicca and say in reclaiming, and when we talk about what Starhawk did, but in reclaiming, we talk a lot about the mother, maiden, crone. And that's the triple goddess. So it's one goddess, but it's the mother, maiden, crone, because these are the phases of the moon. This is how our seasons go. This is how our day goes into night. You and I, we are more in the mother phase of our lives. I'm sort of moving into the crone, so I'm moving into menopause, and I'm going into the final part of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And some say the most powerful time. I'm the story keeper, I'm the knowledge keeper, I'm the village elder, that kind of thing.
Zoomers are crones.
That's right. That's right.
Most powerful.
That's
yeah.
It. Here we are on Zoomer Radio with the crones.
Exactly.
Our new radio talk show.
Love
about
it.
Older women. I'm so hot. No, literally. So we have those three phases. And they do say because now we live so much longer that we have the maiden, the mother, the queen, and the crone.
So these different cycles are relevant because they mirror the cycles of the seasons, maybe the directions, and it's all tied together. So that awareness of your interconnectedness with nature is empowering.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is part of witchcraft.
And that's part of witchcraft, and that's part of what has been kind of phased out. And we want to be connected to our earth, because if we're connected to it, we can't hurt it, right? We're not going to be in love with something and damage it, right? And I think our society right now, and for a long time, has been in that striving, in that capitalist way. I mean, this is where slavery comes from. This is all this stuff that is very damaging. It can be done. I think we need the striving in order to have the receptivity, but it's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're missing is the waiting. What happens in receptivity or in the feminine of waiting and slowing down and allowing things to happen. We are in such a rush to garner the funds that come from that crop or from factory farming or from the way we have outfished our oceans or...
Greed. You're listening to a Halloween special on Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds featuring actual live witches. I'm Lily Frost, and after the break, I'm going to get back into some stereotypes like the origin of the pointy hat and the flying broomstick.
You're listening to Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds. Opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect those of the host or of Zoomer Radio.
Telling stories and no one believes.
You just heard my song, Witchwood, off Viridian Torch. And I'm going to continue my conversation with Kiki Keshkinen, the founder of Witch School Canada. Let's talk about the origin of the pointed hat.
Where did the tall, black, pointy hat come from? The original brewmasters. You know, potion creation. I mean, beer is as old as time. And it really is quite magical if you think about beer.
Mm.
I mean, you have yeast, you have sugar, you have... barley, you have, I mean, it's a tea in a sense. And so at a time when there were different potencies of beer, there were different women brewing beer. And the way that you could find the brewmaster in a busy market mm-hmm. was to look for the black hat.
The pointy hat.
And the black hat, the pointy black hat. And that mm-hmm. woman, the brewmaster, had the potent beer that you were looking for.
Wow.
Now, different potencies created different effects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And generally, mm-hmm. it was men that were drinking the beer, and it had a different effect. And so when it had a negative or dangerous effect, they blamed the woman in the black pointy hat for creating a potion that made them do it.
That made them do it because they lost their judgment because they were drunk. Oh, my God.
Right.
I love that.
The big nose and the hat and the idea of the crone and the persecution of Jews. And ancient Judaism, the practices were very mystical and a lot of sorcery. And again, to survive, Judaism took on a lot of what Christianity was doing so that people wouldn't be killed. And so we lost a lot of the mysticism, the ancient Judaism, you know, like the numerology, and it's all Judaism. If you can make Jews and women in the same place, great. And especially old women. So it was the idea of the crone, of this woman who had, like, she was a midwife. She could solve some medicinal issues. Somebody was sick. She could do that. That's going to mess with capitalism. That's going to mess with the doctors who are making money and selling potions. It becomes this industry that feeds it itself. Everybody's in the pocket of somebody else. I mean, this is the origin of witchcraft, really. And for these people who were healers, I mean, witches are mostly, almost every witch I know is some kind of a healer.
Yeah.
Either it's working with kids, either it's working with in medicine, it's a garden witch or a kitchen witch, or they are healing in some way, directly or indirectly. And that's a threat.
Demonize witches because they were a threat, and mm-hmm. also use them as a scapegoat mm-hmm. to sort of, oh, well, now we've gotten rid of all the witches, therefore yeah. society can calm down. You're all safe now.
Right. Well, it's good to be able to blame somebody when something's going wrong.
It is weird that the whole society is based on a media culture of yeah. fear and terror, mm-hmm. but people can't express it. We only want to feel the good stuff
right.
while we're surrounded by this
negativity. So why do you think that is? Like, lose control.
Lose control. Yeah, that might be it.
Because if we lose control and we feel it and it comes out and it's all out on the table and then we're okay, like we stop crying, we let it slowly sputter out and we blow our noses.
Mm-hmm. It moves through.
It moves through,
and
but then we
gone.
Don't need anything. We don't need to go shopping.
Right.
I mean,
you're better.
I don't need to have a drink or a smoke or whatever.
Yeah.
Or an Amazon purchase.
I need my conscience to keep.
I have a question about the broom, the yeah. flying broom.
Yes.
Where'd that come from? Do we know?
Again, there's a lot of theories about it. So the sweeping is very much about cleansing and clearing. So that's part of it. The other, who knows, but the story that I know that you will love is that an old woman, you know, old women always lived in the woods. This is why we think, why we see old witches. Oh, she's old and she's out in the woods and she's in her house on a chicken foot.
They're called
and she's stirring away. She's Baba Yaga. Anyway, so the old woman would always be sent out because as soon as a woman doesn't have a mate, there's something wrong with her. She's scary. And you can't have lesbians. That's wrong. That's unnatural. So get them out. So women who are alone are scary and something's wrong. Even if she had a husband and he died, still, she goes out, she's in the woods, and what she's doing is like using the herbs around her home and so that she can heal people. She becomes the medicine woman, the place where people go, oh, my milk's not coming in. What should I do? Oh, you should take milk thistle, right? Mm-hmm. All these things, right? So a young boy went, but you know, you fear the witch in the woods, right? Everybody's scared, Hansel and Gretel and so on, whatnot. So this little boy goes into the woods. And he sees the witch's house, and he sees the light on, and he hears. And he's terrified. But he can't stop himself, and he goes up to the window, and he opens the window. He opens the curtain, and he looks, well, I don't know, he's outside. So he peers through the curtain, and he sees her back and forth and back and forth, and she's riding a broom. And she's basically, she looks like she's flying or floating or something. She's back and forth, and she's screeching. It's terrifying, the sounds she's making. And he looks a little closer, and she's really riding the broom. It is the first dildo.
And that's your theory?
Well, I've read a lot about it.
Really?
Yes. And so the cackling witch.
That's amazing.
Riding the broom alone in her cabin, making strange sounds.
Right.
And she's joyful, but screaming.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he ran back to town and he told everybody something awful's happening. She's so happy.
Wow.
By herself. How could a woman be happy by herself?
Yeah. I mean, laughing, cackling.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that is, we know when we talk about sex magic, that is the ultimate in sex magic. Pleasure as activism. Pleasure as like radical activism and the standing up to the patriarchy, in that we can have joy by ourselves without a man. Just a broom. I mean, I would say really sand it smooth.
I am my mother, savage daughter, the wonder of...
Sarah Hester Ross with Savage Daughter. I'm Lily Frost. You're listening to a Halloween special on Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds with real live witches. When I return, we will get into some spells and what happens after death in the belief system of a witch. After this.
I put a spell on you.
Welcome back to Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds, a very special edition for Halloween with real witches. I'm Lily Frost in the studio with Shoshana Sperling. Could you share one spell with us that was maybe the strongest spell that was effective?
If every single thing that you did had intention, how would that change your day? Mm-hmm. How would that change a simple day? You pour yourself a coffee and you add your whatever, your oat milk. Okay, I'm making an assumption. Mm-hmm. You add your oat milk and you stir. And you stir clockwise. And you say into your coffee, I am going to have the strongest, most powerful day I can.
Yeah.
And then you change direction and you stir counterclockwise. That's the charge, as we call it. So you have a spell. Think about it. Happy birthday. You make a wish. You light a candle, which is very powerful. And then you blow it out. That's the charge. At the first of every month, I blow cinnamon and salt across my doorways. You can circle your own house. We do a lot of rituals in terms of rites of passage. In our society, we're missing all these rites of passage. So it's like we've lost out on ritual. We've lost out on community to support each other, a village, helping people. It's not that the power is within us. The power is within us and without us and all around us. The difference with witchcraft is, and what I believe is very similar to Indigenous and to Buddhism, is that we are all connected. We're all one. So I'm saying, let's just be a little bit more open to it, to say, oh, that's my intuition. My intention when I came here was to spend some time with you and for us to learn from each other. Because my intention is that I might be a little bit closer to it. Is it magic? I don't know. Maybe. Is it a good vibe? Yes. But beauty, this is the song, right? Now I walk in beauty. Beauty is before me. Beauty is behind me. Beauty is above me and below me. So if we are chanting that together in a circle, holding hands, I guarantee that you will feel the spirit.
So that act of intentional ritual
These
is
are
what
all
brings
spells.
Power.
These are all spells. Everything, I would say most people are casting spells all day long, and they have no idea that this is actual witchcraft, and it's just intention. It's intention with ritual behind it is witchcraft.
Right. I do have a question about white, gray, black magic. And, you know, because some people are scared. They think of occultism. They think of the Ouija board. They think of casting black magic spells or voodoo, things that can hurt people. And is there relevance in that fear that some people have? And where's the line between good and bad?
I think it's important to see that when something is different, we are taught to fear it so that we can kill it. If it's not human, or if it's not like us, then we won't feel bad putting it in a gas chamber or putting it on the stake. And I think clearly, to me, that's where all of that comes from. That's where racism comes from. Misogyny, racism, the amount of people who are against trans people. It's unbelievable. The most targeted people in North America. And it's just, I don't understand it. So I will say this. There is black magic. So the witches that I know and reclaiming is not at all that. Sometimes it actually frustrates me.
Because you want them to be stronger.
How little revenge there is.
Right. Yeah.
Like after a breakup and you're like, I want him to have all his hair fall out.
Yeah.
And, that, you know, there's a rule, and the rule of threes is that it comes back to you times three. So
right.
If I have cast a spell like that, I am asking for that to come back to me times three. Maybe in Buddhism they call it karma. I don't know. But yeah, I don't, and any circle that I'm in, we don't cast that kind of stuff. The opposite of hate is love. I'm not going to change anybody's mind, but my intention is to spread love.
Let me tell you about threefold spells.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it sometimes takes us three times to remember things. So if you think about your mind, remember something. Your body has a memory and it remembers something. And your spirit, your intuition, it remembers something.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're doing, let's say, a banishment spell, you're doing it, you're saying something repeatedly three times. The first time you're doing it kind of from your brain, like, oh, this is what I think I should say to release that, to banish that away.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer want that. I don't need it in my life. Be gone.
Okay.
You can say that from your mind because you've thought it out. Maybe you've written it out. This is your spell. You've given it some thought. You've prepared for this ritual. And then the second time you say it from your body. And maybe it's a sound. Maybe it's a gesture. Maybe it's a clap. Maybe you're saying it out loud and you're shaking your body.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're saying it out loud and you're banging a drum. And then the third time you say it, is from your intuition. And it may sound like very different words. Often people start with a very long spell, and then when it comes down to the third time they say it over, it just becomes one word.
Hmm.
One word. And that is the distillation, and then you lodge it into your intuition. And then it becomes more a part of you and not something you did around a campfire that one night.
Yeah.
Like every spell isn't just like abracadabra, ta-da. Every spell is, and now you have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So a banishment, for instance, you banish something away three times. And in that ritual, you then have to go back into your normal life. And when those thoughts or that darkness comes in, or those negative thoughts, and you were talking about dark magic or black magic before, but that negative self-talk comes back and you banished it around a campfire in a ritual, you have to now do the work to say, ah, there it is, be gone. And you banish it away. You have to do the work of sending it away.
And do you believe as a witch that our spirit lives on after we die?
You bring up such an important part at this time of year too, because most of us witches celebrate the Samhain, which is the witch's new year. And of course, we're really feeling that in-between place between aliveness and death. And when you ask me, is there an afterlife? I think that's a very individual decision that you have to look deep within for. But here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at nature and I see that the leaves are falling oh so beautifully outside my window, and I know that they're covering the ground, and with that ground cover, at some point they will deliver minerals to the seeds beneath the ground, and those minerals will form new seedlings and new trees. And so there, in that example, is death, birth, and re-death again.
In summary, witchcraft is a spirituality based on women for women. Thanks so much for listening to this Halloween special featuring real witches who walk among us. I want to thank Shoshana Sperling of Community Outwitch and Kiki Keshkinen of WitchSchoolCanada.ca for joining me today on Zoomer Radio. Happy Halloween!